Based on your vast experience from the last year of your life, what's the quirkiest thing you can tell me about things in a convenience store, like in a gas station, like candy and chips and stuff like that?
Okay, you want to know one?
Yeah,
I'm about to bust a myth that everyone thinks is 100%
true. A weird, quirky thing. Yeah.
If there's not a date on a Twinkie or any Hostess product, do not eat it. Twinkies go out of date 100%.
They have to. They have flour in them.
Yeah, exactly. But if you pick up a Hostess anything and there's not a date that has been labeled on it,
yeah,
do not eat it. Because who knows how long it's been sitting there.
Oh. They'll just leave them in there?
Oh, yeah.
Because of what people think about them?
Well, that and like, if people don't know this, I'm in charge of marketing for a chain of convenience stores in Knoxville, and it's actually an incredibly hard job to work in a convenience store.
Yeah,
that is like it's a humbling thing for me to say, to think that I thought that was an easy job.
Sure,
and then to like actually work it. And to watch people work it, it's like, wait a second, this is incredibly hard. You're just on your feet, you know. Sometimes you work 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
It's just super hard. You deal with people who can be the worst.
Oh, yeah.
You literally have a switch behind the register that will call the cops without any questions asked because of, you know.
It can be dangerous.
Yeah, it can be dangerous.
Right.
People get... Yeah, it's tough. But so sometimes it's easy to forget, oh, I'm supposed to date these, which is the case at every convenience store. It doesn't matter if it's like,
I would think the manufacturer would date things. What's like something that's so often purchased that you're like, I can't believe people buy this much. Is there anything like that where you're like, wow,
lottery tickets.
Oh,
like, yeah. And that's not even like a Christian thing. It's like, whatever. It's a, like, I have watched people pull their car right up to the front door and go in and out for 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Not like, yeah, I'm going to buy $30 of scratch offs. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to buy $600 of scratch offs and play until I get my money back. AKA until I lose $600.
That is so
sad.
And
then drive away. Yeah. In my slippers.
That's not what D-Rod does, though, is it?
I don't know. Just kidding. Also, soda fountains. I wouldn't ever drink out of a soda fountain.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
I'm glad you said that. I've done that plenty.
I wouldn't drink out of a... I don't really have a desire to drink out of a soda fountain anymore. After you've cleaned some of the heads of those things, and it's like, wow, if you didn't do this, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
Because it's just sugary syrup pouring out of them all day, and if they're not cleaned... At least once a week. It's just like, when you do clean them, it's like, what?
So you, and what we need to do is mentally go back to that person on their feet doing a really hard thing that's slightly dangerous and stuff. And that, like, for like 12 years. And so it's like, yeah, I'm probably just not going to clean those heads.
Yeah. Or also, it's like a, you know, for most convenience stores, it's like a 200% turnover. So for every person you hire, 2 people quit. Mm. So it's like, no, they may have just never been taught that because they'd only been here 3 weeks.
Well, the Weigels on the west end of Oak Ridge, which was really, really close to the house that I grew up in, we had one guy that worked there pretty much forever. Like the whole time I was in elementary, middle, and high school. Mm-hmm. Just one guy.
Yeah.
And so that gives me a whole new perspective on that little tale.
Yeah. That Weigels, man. It's weird how much convenience store knowledge I have right now.
Are you a guy that pronounces it Waggles or Weigels?
It's Weigels.
It is Weigels.
It's officially Weigels.
It is Weigels, but there are so many people in our area that pronounce it Waggles.
There's a guy in my office who calls it Waggles, and it's like, nope. You know the guy's name is Bill Weigel. Like, it's just like an industry known fact.
Yeah.
He's a convenience store tycoon. One of the wealthiest men in East Tennessee.
He's a mogul.
Yeah, he's a mogul. Everyone knows it's Billy Weigel, and you call the stores Waggles.
Welcome to Ancient and New. This is a Bible study podcast. But it's also a podcast.
I just pictured Miguel listening to this right there.
And he's like, what?
What?
Waggles? Waggles?
Well, he's spent some of his life in East Tennessee.
Yeah, he knows what's up with East Tennessee. This is we're also dropping knowledge on people about how to pronounce the name of this. Is it pretty much just East Tennessee that Weigel's exist in?
Yeah, it's an East Tennessee chain. Although they move into Chattanooga, and it's like a big deal.
Oh, that is a big deal.
It's a really big deal in the industry.
In the industry,
it's like did y'all hear that Weigel's bought 8 lots in Chattanooga? Like that's a common conversation I hear.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
In your world, that's JJ Watt going to the Arizona Cardinals.
That's exactly what that is. And it's not even an exaggeration. Exactly what that is.
What have you got for us today?
Biblically?
Yeah. besides the knowledge of Weigel's spreading to Chattanooga.
Wait, I probably wasn't supposed to say that.
By the time it comes out, it'll be common knowledge.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the people who listen to this podcast are going to they're going to use that for their stock trading knowledge or something.
Yeah, yeah. I got some other convenience store knowledge I just know I cannot say.
Yeah, because of insider trading.
No, not insider trading. I don't know anything about insider trading. I don't know anything about it. So if I get busted by the feds, I honestly don't know what that even means. I have no clue.
You're going to have to wear an anklet.
Yeah. Oof. Okay, Psalm 24.
Ooh.
Here we go. So you're going to be in the NIV on this one. But I read this morning in the NLT.
Okay.
And I just went with it. And I really liked it. I got my wife. This is so funny because the same Christmas you got me one of these, I got my wife one of these. But those alabaster Bibles, I don't know if you all have seen them out there, listeners.
It's very pretty.
They're really pretty. Yeah. They're just like a scripture with a pretty picture on the other page. Not necessarily pertaining to it.
And not in double columns like your traditional Bible.
No,
and like,
it's just easy to read.
Yeah, they get all the, there's no footnotes on it. It's in every book of the Bible that they publish is a standalone book.
Yeah.
So it's not like a whole Bible. It's like you have one volume that's the Psalms or one volume that's the Gospel of Matthew.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I've given them some money. So
yeah, they're proud of them.
Yeah. But anyways, I was reading this morning and I just had a thought about it. It is what it is. But this is not necessarily, I've been picking random Psalms for the past week or so that if it falls on Psalm 18 or Psalm 16 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 139, I'm kind of like, or Psalm 90, I'm like, I'm going to go a different one.
Yeah.
That I like, which like, because those are just, those are bangers and just classics. And I've kind of thought like, I want to go to one I don't know off the top of my head.
Those are the hits.
Those are the hits. And they all are hits, I think, but I want to make it clear.
As soon as you said that, you realized how corny it was.
This doesn't get better halfway through it. It's okay. Just good. I was being a turd towards you. I'm sorry. But anyways, I'm going to do verse 1 and 2 and then I'm going to hop down to the bottom of it.
Carry on.
This is a shorter one. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Open up. This is a little bit later. That was 1 and 2. This is verse 7. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of heaven's armies. He is the King of glory. I loved the idea of the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all of its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundations on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. This is pre-cross. Yeah. And like, the earth was his then. And then there's also just like another dollop of like, I paid a gigantic price for you people. You know, there's like a whole other thing on there too now that I just like that caught me off guard this morning. I wanted to finish that sentence and say like, the earth is his because he died for me. Like, I owe him everything. Everything in my life is his. He paid for it, period. And then I also, it's like I'd forgotten the part where he created the whole thing, which is so funny to admit out loud. But I read that and I was like, oh yeah, that part is just unbelievable. It's amazing. And then further down with the open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of Glory enter. I just like, you know, whatever. That's probably talking a little bit about battle and some other things that I don't necessarily understand from whatever David's going through at the time, but I just had a moment this morning where something went off in my head about the idea of like, that kind of feels like my heart a little bit, like ancient gates and ancient doors. Like, there's a lot of those things in there. There's a lot of things that are just, they're ancient in my lifespan, you know, in the 27 years I've been on this earth. Like, there's a lot of griminess and there's a lot of beliefs and there's a lot of crooked theology and things in there. And I loved the idea of those things just cracking open and the King of Glory entering in and just kicking the doors down and saying like,
I feel like I'm hearing the rusty hinges as you're describing it.
It's cool. And I have a lot of rusty hinges in my life, you know, a lot of rusty hinges in my heart that are, I loved the idea of the King of Glory entering. And then it says, who is the King of Glory? And it says, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. I thought that was so cool. I just felt myself inviting the Lord into that. Like, here are some things that feel like ancient gates. Open them up, swing them open. Use your arms to just pry those things open and come into them.
There's the thing that I was thinking about when you read those last verses, where you're talking about the gates, rusty gates opening, just kind of creaking open or whatever. The thing I was thinking when you were reading those verses was like a hype man, like bringing somebody onto stage like you're at a concert and like, it's all like, it's already been bumping for a while. The opening band did a great job. Everybody's having a blast. And then like, the lights go down and somebody comes on stage and they grab a microphone and they're like, you know, they say the name of the city, you know, like Chicago, and everybody starts screaming. And then they're like, and they bring this artist on stage. Like, this is a totally different kind of concert, but Christy and I, several years ago saw the jazz singer Gregory Porter in Nashville. And before the show started, we were like, man, I hope I hear this song. I hope I hear this song, which is like the thing you do when you go to somebody's concert. And like, and they didn't have an opening band or anything. All of a sudden, like, they did the announcement about fire exits, and then the stage went completely dark. The room was completely dark, and one little spotlight came on, and one guy walked onto the stage and grabbed his drumsticks, sat down with the drum kit, and just started playing this jazz beat by himself. And then like another guy walked up after like several bars, walked up and picked up the bass off the ground and started playing the bass line. And then another guy walked onto the stage and sat down at the piano. And then I was like, oh, it's painted on canvases. And then like another guy went over and grabbed the horns. And then finally, like after they played through some bars of it, all of a sudden Gregory Porter started coming onto the stage, and like that place went crazy. There was a little more applause every person that came out. And then like by the time he walked out onto the stage, like everybody was going crazy. And I think that's the imagery I have in my head with this psalm, is that like, it's like the, it is so easy just to go through your day and do your business and think about the stuff you got to do and have the conversations you got to have and you know, do the chores you have to do or the cooking and cleaning that you've, whatever the thing is. And like, there should be some fanfare about the fact that like, there is a king of sitting over the whole planet who made everything, and everybody belongs to him, and all my breath and all my words and all my loyalty and all of my affections and everything. And it's like, and I need to like let that build up and let that hype man call me to the place where like I swing the gate open and I'm like, come into my day. Because you made the whole place, you also paid for me and you're my king and you get to make all the decisions. And I want to have the buildup and the excitement of like, it's like, I can just hear David, like the lights going out and David's like, ladies and gentlemen, lift up your heads, you ancient gates, you know, and just like everybody just starts to cheer and it's like, who is he? This king of glory, you know, and it's like, everybody's like, the Lord, you know, just like, it would be so cool to like have in my mind just the buildup of like, come into my day. And I loved how you used the word, at a certain point you used like the word inviting or invitation. And it's like, I think that we have to invite him into our conversations, into our, otherwise, like, I think the easiest thing in the world is just to like, forget like, oh yeah, everything about me and everything in my day belongs to Jesus. Yeah. And I need to like, make sure that he gets what's his.
Yeah. That's cool. I know. I like that. I think that's encouraging. I had not, now that you're reading it like that and saying it like that, I'm like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. I wish I would have read it like that this morning. Now I'm encouraged because you showed it to me that way. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, I feel encouraged about the creaking doors thing too. It's just like, how many things in my life, like how many doors in my life just have not been open to him?
Yeah.
In a while.
Yeah. And I felt that way a little bit this morning. I was like, man, this Psalm to me was like a freaking creaking door. You know, it was the last time I read Psalm 24, you know, like probably last year. I just like went through the Psalms. It used to be a pretty common thing for me and I haven't done it in a while. And I was just like, oh, this is good. This is cool.
I also want to read a Psalm and just the first half of
Psalm it. Boys. Witching.
45. Psalm 45, if you don't know, while Thomas is turning there, is it's like, it's a wedding song for Jesus' wedding day. And
okay.
And it's like, it says, for the director of music to the tune Lilies of the Sons of Korah, a maskil, a wedding song. And it's like, this is, it's like, you're like, and if you hear that, you're like, Jesus didn't get married. And it's like, no, he didn't. But like, when he comes back and he like creates a new heaven, a new earth, and he receives his people as his, that's the wedding of Jesus. The people who believe in Jesus are the bride of Christ. And don't ask me to explain that. I don't know how to get my head around it or anything like that. But like, this is his wedding song. And it's really cool. I love how it starts. My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace since God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall beneath your feet. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. All your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. From palaces adorned with ivory, the music of the strings makes you glad. After that, the psalm kind of takes a left turn and talks to us, actually talks to the bride. But I wanted to read this and just kind of like, and for us just to look at like the cool things that this person is saying to Jesus. It's kind of like at a, you know, a rehearsal, like at a rehearsal dinner when the groom's friends, like the groomsmen, like stand up to give him a toast. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey man, this is what I love about you. This is why you're going to make an awesome husband. And these singers are doing that. They're like, hey, I want to do that, but I want to write a song about how awesome this groom is on his wedding day. This is what you're like. And it says some really cool stuff in here and some stuff that's important in our world right now. Is there anything that to you that is like, oh, I loved this piece right here, as you're looking down through it?
Yeah. The oil of joy, anointing you with the oil of joy.
Yeah.
You're smiling at me. It just took me a second.
No, that's awesome. I love that you chose that one.
Yeah. I liked the whole thing, and it was sweet. I mean, there was a couple of things that really did jump out at me, and a lot of it had to do with like all your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Like, I just, that's such a cool image for me. And palaces adorned with ivory, anything that is like super visual like that is super helpful for me. But the idea that like your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy, the idea of joy being a, like a viscous liquid, you know, it's like, if you've gotten, I've never had like olive oil poured on my head, but I imagine it's one of those things that's just kind of with you all day, you know?
Like, yeah. It'd be hard to get rid of.
Yeah, for sure. And like,
yeah,
if you get grease on you or something like that, it's the only thing I can think of is like, because anytime I've gotten oil on me, it's been accidental completely.
Yeah.
And it's just annoyed me.
Well, yeah, because you're like, oh, this is going to be the rest of my day.
Yeah. Or it stains your shirt. You know, it's like, dang it. Like, some bacon grease splattered while I was cooking, and it's all over my shirt, and now I can't. It's just, the shirt's ruined.
Which usually means for me, oh man, I was going to wear these pants for like 6 more days.
Yeah.
Now I got to wash them.
That's my work pant life. Who knows the last time these were washed. But the idea, though, of that being a good thing and not a gross thing, just like anointed with the oil of joy, and the idea of that just kind of being with you all day.
Yeah, because joy feels like a, joy can feel like a very tenuous vapor. It's like, it's just so easy for it to evaporate.
It can feel fleeting. And this is not, you know, like,
that's really cool.
Yeah. I liked that. It jumped off the page at me, and I feel like I'm wanting it. Like I want to walk out the door, and as soon as I open it, like a bucket of joy dumps on my head, you know, and it's like, okay, this is with me the rest of the day.
Like an old school cartoon, somebody put the bucket on the door.
Yeah. And then that just like followed up completely by the idea of, you know, your robes are fragrant with myrrh and aloe and cassia. And cassia is like it's like cinnamon kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently like when we buy cinnamon at the store, it's actually not cinnamon. It's cassia.
It's cassia. Yeah. So I just am imagining those things going together and being joy, being a, you know, like a fragrant oil that is just on me all day and people smell it, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well, when you have those fragrances, if somebody smells really good, they walk into the room, they change the room.
Yeah.
It's the way John Hartman used to do.
Yeah. I smelled his cologne
like 20 feet away.
Well, I just remember smelling it like a few months after he passed away somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's no one else's.
That's right.
You know, like I think I was like sampling cologne somewhere and I was like,
I can't get this one. This is Johnny Hart's.
Yeah. That's John Hart's. My childhood best friend's grandpa was the same way. He always had the same cologne on.
Yeah.
And anytime I'd smell it, I'd be like, oh, that's Gampy. That's what that is.
That's well, I love the oil of joy thing. The reason I smiled is cause like that was when I read the Psalm, I think that was the part where my heart trended to first. Yeah. Was just the idea of Jesus being joyful.
Yeah.
And like thinking of him that way as a person who was glad and a person who was happy, you know, it was just, that was an exciting thing I think for me, just because growing up, it was like, I always pictured him like disappointed.
Right. Yeah.
You know, hard to please. But I think one of the things that I wanted to pull out of this wedding song is like, it seems interesting. Like this person is saying about the king, let me tell you something I love about you on your wedding day. You care about justice and you are going to get rid of nations for the sake of justice. Mm. And I'm like, God, that is, like that image of Jesus of like just cause there's so much awful nationalism in the world right now. And like this dude is like, you're going to get rid of it because you're actually going to get rid of nations. Like Jesus is not going to get rid of ethnicities. He's not going to get rid of people's different skin colors and their different right. cultures. All of that stuff is good and beautiful and rich. But he's going to trash the nations. Yeah. There's not going to be any more nationalism. There's right. going to be Jesus's world filled with people from those places. Mm. And now under his heart, you know, and I also love that, like, when he says you gird a sword upon your side and you ride forth victoriously on behalf of, and then he's like, truth. And you're like, yeah. And it's like, justice. Yeah. And then it says, and humility. Mm. And you're like, what? Like, what victorious soldier rides forth on behalf of humility? But that's right. who he is. It's yeah, like,
it's cool.
He's joyful. He's humble. And he's also going to trash all this nationalist, you know, racist, prejudiced, oppressive nationalism, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like that on somebody's wedding day that you would say to them, here's something I love about you. But it's like, on Jesus's actual wedding day, like when he comes back, when he rules over the whole world, that's when we're going to see his justice complete, right. you know? And it's like, it's such a cool thing that like the one who is anointed with the oil of joy, like part of his gladness is going to be, I'm getting rid of oppression and I'm setting oppressed people free. Yeah. And people are going to be valued and people are going to be loved and people are going to be seen and understood and people are going to have dignity. And that like all of Jesus's, like Jesus's groomsmen, his best friends would say like, that's something we love about you, man. Mm. Like on his wedding day,
yeah, it's cool.
Like everybody's like raising a glass to toast him. Like I propose a toast to the one who's going to bring justice in his gladness with humility and victory. Right. And everybody's like, cheers. That's just a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's a long time coming.
It's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, the work we do for it in the meantime is important too, but he's going to finally do it.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a sweet thing.
I'm excited for it. I'm praying that it happens every day.
Ugh. It'll be good.
It hasn't yet, but I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Also, when it does happen, we won't have to worry about out of date Twinkies anymore.
That's right. Goodness. But then like some biting into a rock hard Twinkie and breaking a tooth.
Is there anything that really doesn't go bad that lives in a grocery store? Like the M&Ms eventually go bad?
And they have a date on them.
That was for Eric Rice.
Yeah. I didn't mean to do that. Eric's not in his head to all this because
yeah,
he works with me. He's like, yeah. Yeah.
He's done it.
Doesn't go bad. Sheesh.
Like, do Slim Jims go bad?
Yeah. Slim Jims, there's a shortage of Slim Jims. Eric would know that very well right now. It's so funny. So funny.
I don't know if we're going to top, there's a shortage of Slim Jims.
There's a shortage right of Slim Jims right now. That's going to be the name of the episode. I already know it. All right.
I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Perfect when best for